The Bible is Joshua, and I hope it's been a challenge to you. And I want to look at perhaps an unusual phrase here in Joshua 24, Joshua's final sermon, his farewell message. In Joshua 24:19, Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord." I'm sure that sounded a bit negative to some of them. He's just preached a great sermon in the middle of preaching a great sermon, reminding them of all the things God's done for them. He has called them to decide this day whom they will serve. He says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people are stirred and they say, "We'll follow the Lord, we'll serve the Lord." But Joshua seems to dampen their enthusiasm when he says, "You can't do it. You cannot serve the Lord." And of course he means by that there are conditions that must be met. There are hindrances that must be overcome. And we want to think about a few of those this evening. The people again have been stirred. And they answer and say, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." That all sounds wonderful. But Joshua just wants to make sure that they're not making an emotional decision, because emotional decisions don't last very long. I forget what his name was. Uncle Joe Parsons was his name. He said, "If you make an emotional decision," he said, "it will last almost till you get in your car." He said, "but definitely not much longer." So there's got to be more to it. There's got to be a deep-seated conviction, or their decision here is not going to last very long. And we'll see what they decide to do and whether it's real or not. We're emotional creatures. Sometimes we get stirred. And then later on we decide something, or we think we do. You ever watched a commercial about those poor dogs that need an owner, and your heart is stirred and you're crying, and you decide to give $20 a month? And then when you think about it the next day, you say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that." And if you want to do that, you do that. I'm just illustrating an emotional response, okay? Because we can be touched with many things in a positive or a negative way. I hope it's never happened to you, but it happens to most people. Most people are in service sometime, and they have a superficial commitment, but they don't follow through. I saw a fellow one time get down on his knees and ask God to save him. He was wrought up emotionally. His grandmother had just died. But you know what? He didn't follow through with that, not even 24 hours. That's been 15 years ago, and he hadn't been in church a day since, or lived right a minute since. He was emotionally wrought upon. So we have to be careful there. And emotions are a good thing. But if that's all we've got, Joshua says, "You can't serve God. You hadn't thought this out. You hadn't put away all these idols." And there are a number of things that can hinder us if we let them. They don't have to, but sometimes they do. We just need to be sure of what we're promising. Amen? So number one, you cannot serve the Lord as long as there's unconfessed sin in your heart. The Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalm 66:18. No need to pray if there's sin in our lives unconfessed. God won't hear us. God won't answer our prayer. God will not use us. if we're allowing sins in our lives to add up unconfessed, unforsaken, unrepented of, that's a hindrance, because to serve the Lord is a holy thing and is to be rendered by those who are holy. I'm not saying perfect, but I'm saying there's a right way to do a right thing. And if we're living a life of sin, how in the world can we expect God to use us? How can we expect Him to depend on us to live for Him and to serve Him? So service is the fruit of our consecration. It's not so hard to serve the Lord when you live in fellowship with Him all the time and you love Him and you're always seeking Him. But when that's not the way you live every day, then you can't just decide, well, I'm living for myself 6 days a week and one day a week I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Sorry, doesn't work that way. You, as Joshua would say, you cannot serve the Lord like that, in a half-hearted fashion or with sin in your life. And when we let sins pile up, we know it. We ought to confess them immediately. Amen. And the blood will maintain our communion and fellowship with the Lord and keep short accounts. Amen. Never go to sleep at night with any sins in your life. Get them under the blood. Amen. And don't even say, Lord, if I've sinned. What do you mean if? Say, Lord, I have sinned, and this is what I've done, and I claim your promise of forgiveness and cleansing. Amen. And go to sleep with a clear conscience and a clean slate, thank God, and wake up the next day ready to serve the Lord. Amen. You've been there, hadn't you? You cannot serve the Lord with unconfessed sin. And then some people, all of us at times, have been in the place where we couldn't serve God because there was something in our hearts against somebody else. I read where Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, if you come to the altar with your gift and you remember that you've got aught against your brother, or your brother's got aught against you, this is Jesus, Matthew 5:23. He said, leave your gift, go to your brother first, be reconciled to your brother, then offer your gift. Jesus said, you cannot serve me. You cannot give in the right spirit if there's unforgiveness in your heart. And we all know, sadly, the terrible thing that unforgiveness is. Sometimes we need to be the one granting the forgiveness, and sometimes we need to be the one asking for the forgiveness. So Jesus said, there are conditions that have to be met. There are things that can hinder us. God forbid. But you can't serve God if there's somebody you won't forgive. Amen. That's exactly right, Ephesians 4:32. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. Pretty serious, isn't it? Did He say that, or am I making that up? He said that, brother. He said, if you can't forgive, then I won't forgive you. So I'm just saying to us, there are some things that we dare not allow to hinder us. So if there's unconfessed sin, if there's unforgiveness, no, and then in the next place, if our motive's not right, we cannot serve the Lord. There's not just what you do, there's why are you doing it. That's just as important as what you're doing. I remember years ago when I was speaking on the Constitution, that I was at a church one Sunday, probably a 4th of July or something like that, and this lady was there from the community college, and she was supposed to be one of the best singers in the whole state of North Carolina. She was there to sing the national anthem. It was Sunday. Everybody was there. Patriotic emphasis. Everything. And you know what? She messed up terribly. She messed up terribly. And everybody wanted to crawl under the carpet. And you know, she had... And the reason I tell you that is she had all the training in the world, but the national anthem was not in her heart. It was only a performance. She was the most skilled, the most talented, but it wasn't in her heart. She messed up. She should have had the words in front of her, but she didn't. So, folks, it's our motive. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? At the great judgment, folks, it's not just going to be what we did. It's going to be why we did it, of what sort they are. Gold and silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. You can do a right thing for a pat on the back. You've got your reward down here. You'll have no further reward. That's Jesus, Matthew 6. So we can't serve God if our hearts are not right, if we're doing it for recognition, if our motive is impure. Amen. And we can fool everybody, but we can't fool God. Who knows what we're doing and why we're doing it? I remember talking to a fella in Ireland. His name was Jim. And I said, Jim, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? He said, no. He said, I'm working on it. I'm doing the best I can. He was a devout Roman Catholic. He said, I go to Mass and I pray and everything that a Catholic would mention. I said, I'm sorry, Jim, you're not saved. You need to get saved. Church can't save you. Good works can't save you. Prayers can't save you. The rosary can't save you. The saints can't save you. All this. I said you go to church. I go to church. You pray. I pray. You read the Bible. I read the Bible. You're going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Why? What's the difference? You're doing everything for the wrong reason. You're doing everything you do to try to earn heaven. I do everything I do because I already know I'm going. That's a difference of motive. That's the difference between heaven and hell. So we can't serve God if our hearts are not right and our motives are not pure. And if it's not love motivated, the Bible says if it's not love motivated, it's nothing. So we're just reminded then of some hindrances that we need to avoid. Then the next place, as long as there's an idol in our lives, we can't serve God. If there's anything taking the Lord's place, I'm not talking about a little statue of Buddha. I'm talking about anything, any person that takes God's place in your heart is an idol. Now, there's a lot of things we've got to have in our lives, but they can't take God's place. That's when it becomes the sin of idolatry. And this is Joshua's main point. If you read the whole sermon, you come away with this point above everything else, the need to renounce idols. You see, they'd taken over the promised land. And in every house they took over, there were idols setting up on the shelves. And in every town was a temple to some false god. So there was idols everywhere. They had to gather up and burn. It was everywhere. It was in Egypt where they came out of. And every one of these nations had idols. And it was all around them. And of course, back then it was little statues. But they had to learn that the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And if anything or anybody takes the place in our hearts that belongs to God alone, then we can't serve God. Amen. I've seen people put their family in the place of God. You can say amen if I ever tell the truth. I've seen people put their family in the place of God. I've seen people put their job in the place of God. I've seen people put their hobbies, their possessions, anything you want to mention. Many of them have a rightful place, but leave them in their rightful place. Don't take God off of His throne and put something else in His place and give to that the love and the devotion that belongs to Him alone. That's idolatry. And you can't serve God if you're an idol worshiper. And that's what he says over and over again. 23, put away the strange gods which are among you. Incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. So God does not allow divided allegiances. There is a preventive for this anyway, If you have a problem with something always getting in the way, something always zapping and stealing the love you're supposed to give to the Lord, there's a preventive for that, and that's this. Paul said it. He said, first give yourself to the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says they first gave themselves. You see, what God really wants is you. And when God gets you, everything else can fall in line. But if you still are rebellious in your own heart and you've never given the reins to the Lord, you're going to find everything an epic battle. Did you know there are some people that wake up every day and think, am I going to live like a Christian today or not? Oh, my soul, what a way to live. You never gave God you, did you? You wouldn't have to decide that every single day. You could decide that one day, nail that thing down, be done with it. Amen? Hope you don't have to wake up every day and say, am I going to love my family today or not? Am I going to love my kids today? Or my soul, nail that thing down. Amen? Give yourself to God and everything else will fall in place. Allow no idols to usurp that throne of your heart. Jesus Christ deserves and demands first place in our lives. And if that's not so, then we can't serve Him and we won't serve Him. So I believe you'd agree with that. Let me come to number four. And last of all, you can't serve God not only with unconfessed sin, with wrong motives, with unforgiveness in your heart. You can't serve God with idols that you've placed in front of Him. And then you can't serve God if there's self-confidence. Now, we've been taught to be self-confident, but the Bible tells us to have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3, I die daily, crucify the lust and affections. It depends on what you mean by that, but in the strictest sense, self-confidence is a curse. Jeremiah 17, cursed is the man that leans upon the arm of flesh. If you're saying, the devil can't get to me, you're asking for it. You remind me of Peter that said, I'll never deny you, Lord, even if all these other guys do. I'll never deny you, Lord. It wasn't but a few hours. He is a cussing, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Self-confidence, prayerlessness. Hey, we still got the old nature. We better not brag about what good Christians we are. Because we usually overestimate. As the Bible says, let somebody else brag on you, and especially not yourself. So we can't serve God if we're leaning on the arm of flesh. We'll certainly fall. Don't ever brag on your own ability. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? He said, the will is present, but how to perform it, I don't find. He said, it's a battle every day. That's what he said, Romans 7. Jesus Christ said in Gethsemane, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Folks, we all still have that flesh, don't we? We are very much aware of it. We know that we're in constant need of God's sustaining and enabling grace. We're not going to make it by ourselves and leaning upon our own strength. You can't serve God if you think that you're it, and you think, well, I've arrived, or I'm mature, I'm above temptation. That's never going to happen to me. You better stay low and say, oh God, I need all the help I can get, and there's nothing good in me. And Lord, even when I do something good, you give me the desire and the power. So Lord, I can't take any glory for anything. Amen. That's what God wants to hear. That's what God wants to hear. Lord, I'm a big zero. And if you can use me, Lord, to get glory to your name, then here I am. Lord, you own me. You save me. Not, Lord, I'm really a super-duper Christian now, and I've got a handle on this thing, and of course you want to use me, Lord. My soul, that's not it. You ever seen anybody with a braggart attitude? What was his name? Mr. Cato preached and he was on nationwide radio years ago, preached a message, threw his coat off, and said, "That's how you do it." No wonder he fell. No wonder he fell. Amen. You can't serve God with a self-confident, bragging attitude. So that's what Joshua means. And it causes them to look a little deeper. And this should be seen as a service. And I'm thankful that the service ended well. They took it to heart. They said, you know, and even though they'd been with Joshua through all these years and all these battles and had seen so much, there was still repenting that needed to be done, idolatry that needed to be confessed. Even if you've been here tonight, saved for 40 years, it's still possible that there's something you need to deal with. Amen. That's not impossible. That's certainly the case right here. So the service ends well, thank God. The people say after that warning, after he tells them they can't serve God without due consideration, then they say, all right, we've made up our minds, all emotions aside, after a full introspection, we're going to serve God, whatever it costs. His voice will obey. Joshua makes a covenant and writes these words in a book, sets it under an oak tree, and Joshua says, this stone is a witness. And everybody goes home, and they serve the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. They said, we're going to serve God, and they did. Amen. And they did. For all these reasons why you can't serve God, that's only half of it. There are, thank God, just as many reasons or more why you can. You cannot with unconfessed sin and unforgiveness and idolatry and self-confidence, but you can if you have a humility and a willingness. Amen. Greater is he that's in you. You have the indwelling Holy Ghost. You have the grace of God. You have the encouragements and prayers of God's people. So let no Christian say, I can't serve God. No, you can't if you let things hinder you. Part two, but you can if you will. You can if you will. You say, I'm the worst Christian in the world. Let me say something to you, worst Christian in the world. You can serve God if you will. You're just as saved as everybody else is saved. There ain't but one kind of salvation. So nobody has any excuse. Amen. God takes us where we are, and we can live for him. I like what, and I'm done with this. Somebody asked a preacher if young Christians shouldn't do something for the Lord. He said something. He said they all do everything. Do you know you can do everything as unto the Lord? It ain't just special occasions. Amen. You'll do your job better if you do it for Jesus. Amen. You do your school better if you do it for Jesus. Colossians 3 says, as unto the Lord, everything you do it as unto the Lord. Matthew 25, you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Amen. You'll cook better if you do it for Jesus. You do a better job teaching Sunday school if you do it for Jesus. Am I in the Bible or making that up, bro? That's the Bible. Do it for Jesus. You'll do it better. You'll do it better. You can serve the Lord, and thank God they did, and so may we. Let's stand together.